With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Introducing Batiste sweat-activated and touch-activated dry shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste dry shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Diane von Furstenberg's life would be hard to believe if it were fiction. The daughter of a Holocaust survivor, she married into German royalty, but decided her marriage wouldn't define her. By her 27th birthday, she had designed the iconic wrap dress and sold more than 5 million. Now she's a living legend of fashion, and she's working, she says, to empower women across the world. We're talking with her this hour on Point, Diane von Furstenberg. You can join the conversation. Do you know her story? What's your question? Can a fashion designer dress and empower women? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. All right, here's the situation. Diane von Furstenberg is in the building, we're told, of the studio in New York and on her way to the microphone, but she's not there. At 22, she married Prince Egon von Furstenberg, a young German prince. Emerged with her own label, which an awful lot of American women and women around the world came to know, the wrap dress. 5 million sold, made her a star. The marriage did not last. The name did. She went on to become a fixture at Studio 54 back in the day in New York. Andy Warhol immortalized her in pop art portraits. And in the late 90s, she came back with the big presence of that rap design and her career. Diane von Furstenberg, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. This is Tom Ashbrook with On Point and NPR speaking with you from Boston. I'm glad you made it up the elevator. Thank you very much for joining us today.
I'm glad I made it up at all. I had a ski accident last week.
You have a broken nose, if I understand correctly.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
And I look like a battered woman, but thank God I'm not.
Do you still, yes, thank heavens, do you still have the big bandage on your nose? Do you look like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown?
No, but I look like I was beaten.
I'm sorry.
I'm all bruised up.
Let me introduce you a little bit more so people can get a little sense of what you're up to these days. Diane Furstenberg is now president of the Council of Fashion Designers of America, on the board of the Vital Voices Global Partnership. It's an international nonprofit that works to identify and empower emerging women leaders around the world. Her People's Voice Award will be announced on March 11th. The award honors an American woman for leadership and courage. Starting today, you can see the nominees and cast a vote online. You can find a link to all that at our website, onpointradio.org. Diane, tell us about your work with emerging women leaders. What kind of women and how are you supporting them?
Well, first of all, my mission in life is to empower women. I mean, I do that through my work, through mentoring, and through philanthropy. So, and I am on the board of Vital Voices, which is a wonderful organization that empowers women. And so last year, we had our first DVF award, and the DVF award...
This is the Diane von Furstenberg DVF?
Yes, it's the Diane von Furstenberg Award, and it's supported by the Diller von Furstenberg Family Foundation.
Diller as in Barry Diller, your now husband.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it gives $50,000 to 5 women. And two are chosen from the Vital Voice board, you know, they are vital voices, women. And the one we're going to talk about today, and the one is the one that people can actually vote in, and it's the People's Award. And the board has selected five different women, and people can go online on dvf.com or on facebook.com, DVF, or on thedailybeast.com, and they can vote for these women. So would you like me to tell about these women?
Yeah, give us a little sense of what kind of work they're up to.
Well, there are women. One is called Zeynab Eyega, and she has created something called the Sauti Yetu Center for African Women. And what she does is empowers and provides counseling and support for African women in New York, and also raises awareness on issues affecting all of the African immigrant communities. And
female circumcision has been one of her issues, I believe.
Well, yes, but I mean, really, it's these women come as immigrant, and and they need help, and they need counseling, and so it's really real groundwork, and they really work with pennies, and $50,000 would mean so much to them. Then we have Lynn Pentecost, who has founded the Lower East Side Girls Club, which is dedicated to providing a place where a girl from the surrounding area from age 8 to 18 can grow, learn, have fun, and develop confidence in themselves and their ability to succeed. I mean, there were no girls' club at all. There were boys' club, but no girls' club. And, it's very important and very meaningful for these girls to know that they can go to a place and make a difference. And the third one is Taryn Davis from the American Widow Project, and that's completely different. Taryn Davis is a beautiful girl who in 2007, her husband Michael Davis lost his life while he was serving in Iraq. And clearly her life was broken, and she has now put all her energy in providing support and resources to a new generation of women who have lost their husbands, sons, fathers to war.
Yes.
So it's completely different but equally meaningful. Then we have Susanna Schakow, who is the founder of Running Start, and who works to inspire young women to run for political office and to increase the number of women who serve as elected officials by planting the seed of interest in politics at a young age.
So working for real political power there in terms
exactly.
of empowerment.
So that again is, you know, empowering women and making them interested in becoming elected officials.
May I ask you, there's one more, is there?
Yes, one more.
Yes, please.
And she is equally as important. Malika Sadassar, she founded the Rebecca Project for Human Rights, and it's based in Washington, D.C. She advocates for justice, dignity, and policy reform for vulnerable women and girls, and she is absolutely passionate. And actually, I mean, she makes a big, in May 2010, they conducted a congressional briefing with the actress Demi Moore, where two girl survivors testified on the horrors of being exploited and raped by men who bought them and sold them through Craigslist. Yep. I mean, so it's all pretty amazing, and every one of these women do amazing work. So I, you know, invite you to go on dvf.com, read about these women, and then also vote for them.
Diane von Furstenberg,
and
quick question for you.
The vote will be announced in 2 weeks,
yes,
February.
Yes. There's a question I put to our listeners at the top of the hour, and they will be they're calling in already. You'll be speaking with them soon. But the question I put to them, let me put to you. Apart from this work, you've expanded the kind of work you do. I mean, you are first and foremost professionally a fashion designer. And I asked them, If a fashion designer, can a fashion designer dress and empower women simply by the work of fashion designing? What do you say to that question?
Of course.
How?
How? That's what I do. By making women, making clothes that will give women confidence, clothes that become your friends, clothes that make you attractive, but by the same token, they don't make you look like an object. They empower you. You feel like a woman. You feel strong. You feel beautiful. I mean, and you feel confident. And confidence is a lot part of empowering a woman.
How do you know if a particular dress or outfit is going to make a woman feel objectified or make her feel empowered?
Oh, well, of course, clearly you haven't worn a wrap dress, but I mean, I'm sure that thousands of women around the country will testify why my dresses make them feel confident, because they are practical, because they make your body, they're soft, they're comfortable, but at the same time, they make you look attractive.
Diane Van Furstenberg, we're glad you made it up the stairs. We're sorry you broke your nose on the ski slopes. We'll talk about that and a lot more. There's also a new album coming out, Proud to Be a Woman, be released on vinyl on International Women's Day. That's March 8th. Here's Robin from that, Get Myself Together. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking this hour with fashion designer icon Diane Van Furstenberg about style, women, power, and women finding their voice. She's been promoting a lot of women, emerging leaders, she calls them, for her People's Voice Award. Here's Susan Schakow, one of them, from the organization Running Start. It educates young women about politics. Here she's speaking about her organization's mission.
I founded Running Start because I saw that young women in America don't understand the need for politics. And politics is one of the most direct and powerful ways to create change. Our Running Start programs bring young women from around the country, 1,000 high school and college girls a year, to train them in the skills that they need to be effective leaders.
Susanna Schakow, one of the five that she's got up for the People's Voice Award, Emerging Female Leaders. Diane Van Furstenberg, we have lots of women calling in for you, and I want to go straight to them. Starkesboro, Vermont. Catherine, you're on the air with Diane Van Furstenberg.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
And this is an honor to speak. Ms. Van Furstenberg, I was 16 years old when I got one of your dresses. That was back in the 70s, and
yes.
I was so proud to have that dress. I remember the fabric like it was yesterday. And I just want to say that I absolutely agree with you that a fashion designer can empower women for all the reasons that you stated, because clothing is an important component of culture. And the culture of women is often based around our clothing, at least in the Western world. And I think it's extremely important to teach women the difference between celebrating their beauty and objectifying it.
That's right.
Thank you very, very much.
Catherine,
well, thank you so much.
Where's the line, Diane Van Furstenberg, between celebrating and objectifying? Fashion seems to go in every direction over time. Where's the line? How do you know the difference?
No, I mean, you know, the only thing is that the choice is the choice of the woman. And what I mean is you could be beautiful, you could be sexy, you could reveal a leg, you could do all of that. But it's quite different than I don't know. I guess only a woman can understand that. And that's why probably I'm so popular with women, because I am a woman and I want to have, I always wanted to be independent. I want to be able to drive my own bus and, you know, have children and all of that, but be independent. And so I make beautiful clothes to make women feel beautiful, but also feel independent.
Let's get more of the feedback from the women who wear those clothes, all kinds of clothes. Gloria in West Hartford, Connecticut. Thanks for calling. You're on the air with Diane.
Hello. Oh. I really want to back up with my life experience, everything that Ms. Van Vestenberg's been saying. I started my work life when I went to work in high-heeled shoes, girdles, and bras, and whatnot. And traveled on the subway doing it.
Yeah, almost a corset. Yeah.
I'm close to 80 now. I still work, and it was a relief to get out of those nonsensical clothes and to dress for what we needed to do. I just want to back her up and thank her.
Gloria, I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you. And keep working.
Thank you, Gloria. We're glad you're out of those high heels, girdles, and maybe even bras at 80. Here's G in Buffalo, Diane, who asks, how did you come up with the wrap dress?
Well, I went into fashion. You know, when I first started, when I was a young girl, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew the woman I wanted to become. I wanted to become this independent woman, and I was working for an Italian manufacturer in Italy. A big, you know, he was a big flamboyant, very. Very big man in fashion, mm-hmm. And he had three factories. He had a printing plant, he had a knitting plant where he made jersey fabric, and another plant where he made clothes. And I didn't think I was learning very much, but actually everything I know I learned from there. And my boyfriend who I met at school was at university in America, doing a training job in America. He came to see me in Rome. We got engaged, and before I knew, I found myself pregnant. So I had to rush getting married and rush moving to America. But yet I still wanted to be a very independent woman. So I went to my Italian manufacturer, my boss, and I said, I'm moving to America, and I'm going to have a baby. Would you allow me to make a few samples from your factory, and I will try to sell them in America?
May I just ask you, on that front, that's great that he did, but the design itself, were you looking at kimonos or...
No, wait.
The wrap.
Let me finish.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I, at night, when the factory was closed, I would start peeling fabric. Mm-hmm. And first I made T-shirt dresses and shirt dresses, and then I had a little wrap top, like the dancer. And then mm-hmm. I decided to turn it into a wrap dress. Now, the wrap dress is a dress that has no button, no zipper. And as you say, it's a little bit like a kimono. It's an old, very traditional form. Mm-hmm. But what nobody did before is they never did it in jersey fabric. And jersey fabric molds the body.
Right.
And furthermore, I did it in print, and it made the woman feel like a feline, and she felt sexy, and she felt beautiful, and it became the beginning of a big dress.
Made her feel like feline. You're famous for those prints, and in particular for natural prints, animal prints, leopards, and all the rest. Why those in particular?
Because if they look good on animals, they look good on us, because they have movement. Yeah. Because the most beautiful movements you find in nature. I mean, I make my prints, I photograph bark or close-up of leaves or gravel or sand. Everything comes from nature.
Let's go to Miriam, calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. Miriam, you're on the air with Diane Van Furstenberg.
Hi, Tom. Hello, Diane.
Hello.
I have to admit, I've never been able to afford your dresses, but your style has always influenced what I've bought. And one of these days, my goal is to buy a closet full of yours. I think they're perfect. They are simple. They aren't crazy, the kinds of fashions that come out of other places. And you're right. They make you feel and look beautiful.
Thank you.
May I ask a personal question?
Yes.
I, too, am the child of a Holocaust survivor. And I'm just really curious what the reaction was when you married a German prince.
Okay. Well, my mother, who survived the Holocaust at the age of 22, happened to like my boyfriend, my fiancé, very much. She loved him. And for her, it was never a problem. He was, you know, on his father's side, he belonged from a German family. On his mother's side, he was Italian. But it was not an issue for my mother at all.
Even though your mother had been in the Holocaust, even in Auschwitz? I mean, the Germans had left a brutal mark on her life, but still she was fine with it?
Yes, she survived, you see. She survived. She weighed 49 pounds. She wasn't supposed to have a child, and I was born. So I was her vengeance. My life was a miracle, and yes, it is true that I became a German princess, and I went on, and therefore my children are, you know, have mixed blood. But I believe that is one of the way to reconcile things, and so it's. You know, I don't know what to say. It's
what was
really
the reaction of your
it's
boyfriend?
It's my life that's a vengeance.
What was the reaction of your boyfriend and husband's family, Prince Egon von Fürstenberg, his German family?
Well, on his father's side, the fact that there was a little bit of Jewish blood was a little bit of an issue, but really not that much, and then it gets diluted just like blood does.
And you describe your life as vengeance? What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, no, the fact that my birth was a miracle, and therefore, to some degree, my life and my success was the vengeance of my mother, who suffered so much.
Diane Fürstenberg, with us from New York City. Miriam, thanks for your call there. Let me ask, because it's in the news right now, and including a lot of women in the streets in Egypt. You must be watching that, along with everybody else in the world, with some amazement. What do you think of what's going on there across the Suez and the Sinai from Israel?
Well, you know, revolutions are always, you know, when revolutions happen, it means that there was a lot of injustice and people, you know, have nothing to lose but go in the streets and revolt against injustice. And so to some degrees, the revolutions are always positive. Hopefully, you know, it will take a nice turn. And unfortunately, sometimes the people who take power afterwards are not really good either. But, you know, I certainly applaud people who want to be free and want to be able to speak.
Speak to us about the evolution of fashion over the now long time you've been involved in it. Your wrap dress was a breakthrough in part because it was so free or freeing for women. Our caller Gloria, you know, talking about the old days of girdles and high heels all the time and all the rest. What do you think about the way fashion has evolved? Has it evolved in women's favor since your wrap dress came out?
Well, you know, the funny thing, I mean, is that in my case, you know, I started almost 40 years ago, and then I sold my company, and 12 years ago I started again because I saw that the young girls were buying the old wrap dresses in the vintage shop. So I thought, maybe I should start again, and I started again, and I'm very, very successful once again. And the funny thing is that the older I get, it seems like my customer gets younger and younger. So to some degree, as it relates to me, it's very much the same. It's, you know, I make clothes for women at the beginning of their life. I give them the empowerment to embrace being a woman and at the same time feeling good about their body, feeling good about being a woman.
But speak more broadly, beyond your own designs, which we understand. Has fashion kept up with women's desire for that freedom?
Yes, and right now in fashion is very mysterious. You know, it's like it's a reflection of the time. It's a reflection of what is happening. And right now there's a lot of tendency towards the 70s, which is really when I started and which is really when women kind of went for freedom. So, of course, it's different. And And now so much is available and in so many price range and in so many different things. But at the end, a woman is a woman and she wants to look beautiful and she wants to have clothes that have color and make her feel good. So overall, I would say that fashion right now is exciting because it offers so many possibilities at so many different price range, but there is very much the same feeling as when I started in the 70s.
Let's go to Amy in Burlington, Vermont. Amy, you're on with Diane von Furstenberg.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say how excited I was when my mother gave me her 1970s vintage jersey dress made by Diane von Furstenberg, and I'm 44, and I grew up in the 70s with my mom kind of coming into her own, and it just feels so nice to be wearing a garment that comes from that and to feel like she's passed the torch to me, and I'm just proud to own it.
When you wear it,
for your daughter.
Yeah, right. What do you feel, Amy? What do you feel when it's on you? What's the difference?
I feel like I'm wearing a sense of the empowerment that my mother probably felt when she bought it and was able to pay for it with her own money that she got with her own job. You know, when she got married in 1963, she was wearing the little, you know, Mad Men outfit, secretary and all of that. And then she just kind of decided to do her own thing. And it was just this fabulous moment. And so when I wear it, I feel like I'm holding all of that sort of sense of glee that she probably felt. And it just feels good on my body, too.
That's incredible. All that in a wrap. Amy, thank you so much. One more right here from Georgia, Washington, Georgia. Rilla, you're on the air with Diane von Furstenberg.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tom and Diana. What a privilege it is to speak with you. I have a wonderful story. I started a Montessori school in Maryland in 1970. And when the first day of school came along, I put on my Diana von Furstenberg dress and stood at the front of, outside the door, greeted every child. And it was a yellow dress with butterflies on it, and it looked wonderful and felt so good. And every year, for the next 5 or 6 years, everyone looked forward to my yellow butterfly dress on the first day of school.
What was it about it, Rilla? Why? Why?
It was just perfect. It was bright and sunny and easy and comfortable, and I think, and everybody, the children used to say, you wear your butterfly dress.
I would love a photo. Do you have a photo of that?
I probably might dig one up. I don't know, but it's been a long time. But I love the dress, and I love the way it made me feel.
I love
the reaction of all the people.
It's a great story. Thank you. Was it because the body was free under that fabric, Diane? Is that part of the reason? Was a freer sexuality?
Yes, because
sexuality?
You see, you could move with it. Mm-hmm. You could move with it. You could carry a child. You can go down and, you know, you could just move with it. It's very, 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 very comfortable. And the fabric is very strong, very solid, but at the same time it's light. And you could wear it with boots, or you could wear it with flip-flops, or you could wear it with high heels, or you could wear, I mean, it. You could wear it to a party, you could wear it to work. It's just, you know, it. Listen, I don't think a dress ever in the history of dresses, there's one dress that has survived so long and is still right. My very, very first dress that I wore and that I did, I reissue vintages, and every season I reissue some vintages. And last year I issued that first dress that I had worn with the link print. Mm. And our First Lady, Michelle Obama, chose it for her Christmas card last year. And that is amazing. You cannot buy that.
No, you can't. Just keeps on coming. Diane von Furstenberg, please stand by. Here's Florence and the Machine from Proud to Be a Woman, Diane's vinyl album coming out for International Women's Day. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Talking this hour with fashion designer, icon Diane von Furstenberg, about style, fashion, women, power, and women finding their voice. She's been designing for a long time. She's out there now promoting Emerging Women Leaders. Her People's Voice Award is up. You can link to it through our website right now. Maybe see who's there, who you might want to support. Here's one of them, and it's interesting. Let's listen just for a second. Diana, if you'll stand by, this is a little tape of one of your nominees, Malika Sadasar. You mentioned her, founder, executive director of the Rebecca Project for Human Rights, advocates for the rights of vulnerable families. Here she is speaking at the Women and Power Conference last year in Rhinebeck, New York.
We must be defiant and fearless in our stories, in the strength of our voices, because only then will we have the grace that we imagine. And only then, here and out there, will we be able to love our arms, to love our legs, to love our womb, our life-giving parts, and love our hearts. Thank you.
Malika Sadasar, one of Diane von Furstenberg's nominees for The People's Voice, looking at women's empowerment there. This idea of women loving themselves, of each person loving themselves, is big in what I read from you, Diane. That is, in your case, it began with loving your own self.
Well, I think that the most important relationship in life is the relationship you have with yourself. And the sooner you can establish that, the better off you are. And of course, having a good relationship with yourself is also means being, you know, disciplined, taking responsibility, being hard on yourself. But it's also about supporting yourself and knowing that no matter what, you will always have yourself.
Your brand, DVF, you describe in all of your literature as a global lifestyle luxury brand. How do you think about luxury and the world these days? We've got famously, even at Davos, Switzerland, they're talking about the gap in wealth, the enormity of it, just how huge it is. You've done pretty well yourself, married a prince, married Barry Diller, billionaire media mogul. You're designing luxury these days. You're not selling in Kmart. You're selling in luxury outlets. How do you think about your focus on luxury and the reality of billions of people who don't live in that world?
Well, first of all, luxury is not necessarily something that you buy. I mean, luxury is space. Luxury is also being able to go on a walk in nature. You know what I'm saying? It's taking time for yourself.
Well, of course, but even these are scarce for some people these days. And in your case, you're talking about a brand. That's not nature. A brand.
No. Well, my brand, I mean, even though it is a luxury brand, is I have always, from the very beginning, tried to make prices as affordable as possible. So I'm certainly not a very, very expensive brand. And I have worked very hard at trying to do that. And so that somehow, in one way or the other, maybe you'll be able to, you know, but what I do, and I will now talk as the president of the CFDA, which is the Council of Fashion Designer of America, mm-hmm. I think that what is important today is to give the value of design. And the value of design does not mean expensive. And mass merchant, like H&M and like a lot of mass merchant, have now embraced designer so that you can have nice design and good design at inexpensive prices. And that is one of the things that I promote very heavily with the CFDA.
Well, let me ask you, whether it's in Milan or in Paris or New York, another fashion show coming up there soon. Yes, there's H&M and brands and retailers that take this out to a mass market. But a lot of the fashion world, especially the high shows that we see, seem in a way venues for flaunting wealth. You know exactly what I'm talking about there. Do you think that community is in touch with what's happening globally, in this country even, when it comes to inequality?
Listen, flaunting wealth is not something that I believe in at all. And I think that there's, it's very strange and it's very unfortunate. On one side, there's a lot of people who suffer enormously from, these economic moments and economic crisis. And then there's, on the other side, there's also these incredibly new wealth, which are, you know, out of technology. I'm not talking about the wealth from, you know, money.
Though there's a lot of that too, finance, certainly.
There's a lot of that too, but there's a lot. I mean, the biggest creation of money is really from technology and things that, you know, 26-year-old guys who were nerds and all of a sudden, you know, become billionaire because they've invented something. So we live in a moment of so much turmoil and so much changes that it's very... it's very difficult to kind of sit down and judge anything because we don't even know where it's all going.
We've got a lot of comments online, people saying they love wearing your dresses. They bought one back when. They're still wearing it. They've given it to their daughter. Here's one from Caleb. He says, I would really like Diane von Furstenberg to address something which her website does not. That is, the working conditions of the armies of women who have to sew her clothes. She said, my goal in life is to empower women, the most fundamental human rights concern facing women today. Caleb writes, is exploited, ill-compensated labor. Please address this urgent reality and explain how your clothing brand empowers rather than destroys women's lives.
Do you mean about for women to make their own dresses?
No, I don't. He's saying the working conditions of the armies of women who sew your clothes. I guess he's asking sweatshop labor.
Oh, no. The women the living condition and the working condition of my factories are very good, and I make a very, very good point of that.
Where are most of them?
There is no slaves that touch any garments of DVF.
Where are most of your clothes sewn these days?
It's made all over. It's made in America. It's made in China. All the silk. I mean, it's made all over. But the conditions are very good, and also the ecologically. I mean, they're now solar power. I mean, we watch that very, very carefully.
How do you do that these days? Is it all made really in your own factories, or do you contract it out
No, you contract out. You contract out. I don't own any factories, but I certainly have a lot. You know, I can choose the factories that I work in, and I can give my conditions.
We read not long ago in the New York Times, you were in China last month. There's a big exhibit there. About you, with Andy Warhol images of you, some Chinese portraits of you, your fashion over time. Did you visit?
That will happen. That will happen in the April 2nd.
Did you visit any of the factories where your clothing is made while you were in China?
Not this time, but I do. Of course, I often do. I love to work in factories, and I love to work with the people who work in factories, because when they know you, I mean, you know, I develop this fabric. I work with the people. I eat noodles with them. Absolutely.
Alyssa is calling from Sag Harbor, New York. Hi, Alyssa. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom and Diane. I just want to say thank you to Diane for making such beautiful garments. I wore one of your dresses to my junior prom. It was a vibrant blue and coral print dress. But I do have a question for you, Diane.
Yes?
Do you believe young women like myself can become involved in making women in the world feel comfortable with themselves, both abroad and here? You mentioned before the woman who is helping advance African women in New York.
Yes.
What do you mean by comfortable, Alyssa? What do you mean exactly comfortable with themselves, if I may?
To be comfortable with themselves in all ways. You know, as a young woman, it's awkward to, you know, be out there and feel good and confident.
Mm-hmm. Diane,
well,
please.
I think that the best way to feel confident and to be happy of who you are is with your work. I think it's very important for women to have children, but I think it's very important for women to work. And I think every single woman who works and who achieves anything is an example for other women. And what inspires me the most about women is their strength. I have never met a woman who is not strong. Never. But sometimes they don't show it. Sometimes they're afraid to show it. Sometimes it's a father, a brother, a husband, a religion. And yet, when a tragedy happened, somehow, doesn't matter how shy that woman was, their strengths come out. So I welcome them to bring out their strength before tragedy strikes.
Alyssa, thank you very much for calling. Let's stick with China for just a minute, if we may. What do you see coming there? I mean, you've spent a lot of time there now. You're having your autobiography, Diana, Signature Life, is being translated into Chinese by Hong Huang. We know her. We took this show to Shanghai not so long ago and had her on the show. This
she's
is
my
China's
great
Oprah.
Friend.
Yeah,
she's my great friend. I love her. Well, let me tell you, I think that what is happening in China is absolutely extraordinary. I was born in Europe and my education was French. So Chinese civilization was always something that I was very intrigued by and that I studied. And also, you know, the Silk Road and what the Chinese brought us, the spices, the silk and all of that. I was always enamored by that. And then later, you know, there was the Chinese Cultural Revolution and, you know, that was another thing. And then finally in 1989, I think, is the first time I went to China. It was still, you know, the China, the leftover of the Cultural Revolution. There were no cars and now it's another world. And I will give you a perfect example. When I was a little girl, if I didn't want to eat my dinner, my mother would tell me, think of all the Chinese that have nothing to eat. And she would force me to eat my soup.
Yeah.
And my children grow up, and for them it was the Chinese make everything. But yet now for my grandchildren, it's really the Chinese are buying everything. And so it's quite extraordinary what is going. And they are very smart and they are very intelligent. And there's this huge, huge consumer force that's coming. And you know, I know that people say a lot that the Chinese take job away and so on. But very, very soon we will be seeing more and more manufacturing here, like even in New York City, that Chinese will buy. So I think that, again, the world is going rapidly, and it certainly is going very rapidly over there.
Tell us about this. You sat down a couple of weeks ago at the 92nd Street Y in New York with Norm Pearlstein from Bloomberg News, and you were talking about China. And you're quoted in New York Magazine. You say the Chinese people are very individual, not obedient like the Japanese. But you say they're like Jews, really, except that there's a lot more of them. And, you know, I mean, try to think of governing 1.5 billion Jews, you're quoted as saying. What do you mean by that, Diane?
Well, I mean, that was a little bit of a joke, but,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is. It's true. The Chinese people, I mean, you know, they're very entrepreneurial and, you know, you sit on the phone and they tell you to turn off the phone, your cell phones, and they open and they turn it on. I mean, I was just, listen, I am no expert to judge the Chinese government or anything, and I certainly will never embrace anything that, you know, suffocate the people or anything mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a remark to say that, you know, 1.5 billion people are, you know, a lot of people.
And they are real individuals, no question
and
about it.
And they are real individuals, but they're real smart. So I have great faith about where the country is going.
Glenn in Newton, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling, Glenn. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Tom. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, as a man, I completely approve and support of this empowerment of women everywhere, and I'm so glad that you're doing this, because in my opinion, this rather than rob men of power, it actually empowers men also as we break down sexism, because I think it liberates everybody.
Thank you. You must have had a strong mother.
Well, not necessarily. I pretty much put it together myself over time, and I really think the secret is that's coming out now is that boys are just as much victims of sexism. You know, the straitjacket of, you know, I like to think of the metaphor of clothes with little or no color and can't express fear or grief, just as women have been expected not to show anger and always smile and all that. And it's on both sides. And I think
of course,
we are empowering women, we're empowering men as well. And I want to say all good luck to you.
Hey, Glenn, thank you.
Thank you.
So
and it's all about respecting human beings, really.
How close do you think we're getting, Diane von Furstenberg, days to the ideal balance of women's empowerment, men's empowerment, realization, full realization of each? How close are women getting, let's say, to where they are to be in terms of power?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's the measurement. I don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to – it's like every day. Every day is – you know, it's like pruning your garden. You continue have to prune it so that it grows better. I mean, and you just, you know, you just keep going. And I think that it is important that every individual feels good about themselves and feel like they have the, you know, to some degree empowered. I know the word empowered may sound so much, but it's about taking responsibility of yourself and making choices and doing the best you can and feeling good about being you.
There we are, 2010, and you're still here. I'm looking back here at a photograph from 1981. It's you, Bella Abzug, Barbara Streisand, and Gloria Steinem at some kind of women's affair. Come a long way since then?
Well, yeah. How long ago? A long time ago. it goes very fast.
Yeah, it does. Diane von Furstenberg is with us today. Her People's Voice Awards are up online today, looking at emerging women leaders. She's asking for your vote if you want to get involved. You can link to it through our website at onpointradio.org. She's joined us today from New York. It's been fun talking with you. Diane von Furstenberg, thank you very much for your thoughts, your time. Thanks a lot. Good luck.
Thank you, and thank you for NPR.
You're very welcome. Great to have you with us. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and at On Point to become a Facebook fan of the show, and we hope you will. To get daily updates and a sense of On Point backstage, hit the like button on our Facebook page, On Point Radio. We'll go out with Diane's Proud to Be a Woman album. Here's Get Some from Licka Lee. Licka Lee, I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thanks for joining us.